Okay, we've got rural news coming up and some of the stuff that we're going to look at there. You'll see that's more scam being used by Farmers Weekly promoting more scams.
You know, one thing that Davos, you might say, and the people come here stand up for is liberal democracy.
Well, it's laughable that you would, or anyone would describe Davos as protecting liberal democracy. It's
equally, standing up for it.
It's equally laughable to use the word dictatorship at Davos and aim that at President Trump. In fact, I think that's absurd. But I'm going to step aside from that constructive criticism and instead answer your question. President Trump, if he's the next president, for that matter, I think whoever the next conservative president is going to take on the power of the elites. The very reason that I'm here at Davos is to explain to many people in this room and who are watching, with all due respect, nothing personal, but that you're part of the problem. Political elites tell the average people on three or four or five issues that the reality is X, when in fact reality is Y. Take immigration. Elites tell us that open borders and even illegal immigration are okay. The average person tells us in the United States that both rob them of the American way of life. They're right. President Trump will take that on behalf of the average American. Elites also tell us that public safety isn't a problem in big American cities. Just travel to New York or Washington or Dallas, Texas. The average person will tell you that the lack of public safety damages not just the American way of life, but their life. President Trump will take that on. I guess the favorite at the World Economic Forum. Climate change. Elites tell us that we have this existential crisis with so-called climate change, so much so that climate alarmism is probably the greatest cause for mental health crisis in the world. The solutions the average person know based on climate change are far worse and more harmful and cost more human lives, especially in Europe during the time that you need heating, than do the problem and the problems themselves. The fourth, China. The number one adversary, not just to the United States, but to free people on planet Earth. Not only do we at Davos not say that, we give the Chinese Communist Party a platform. Count on President Trump ending that nonsense. Fired by the wise words of Javier Milei, who said that he was in power not to guide sheep, but to awaken lions. That's what the average American and the average free person on planet Earth wants out of leadership.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, Rural News.
All right, it's 8 minutes past six. I hope you're having a very good morning. We'll have a look and see what happened on this day in history as well. If you're having a birthday today, have a great day today. Don't let anyone upset you, so don't listen to me. Okay, now we'll go to Farmers Weekly. You'll find them at farmersweekly.co.nz. And the dairy farmers core huge fine, or rather dairy farmer, he cops a huge fine for exploiting staff. This is in Southland. Payslips doctored and monies withheld at Southland's imam's business. Yes, right. A Muslim. We'll go to that story and look at it in a wee bit more depth. And this is the story. A high-profile Southland dairy farmer farming business and its owner, Invercargill imam Raziz Abdul Jabbar, he's been ordered to pay $215,000 by the Employment Relations Authority for exploiting three Indonesian migrant workers. Of this amount, Rural Practice Limited was ordered to pay $145,000, and Abdul Jabbar, the director, he must pay $70,000. Two of the three workers will each only receive $10,000 in penalty amounts. Let's hope they get some other money from Jabbar. The business and Abdul Jabbar were found to have breached numerous minimum employment standards by not paying workers the minimum wage on holiday and leave pay, unlawfully deducting money from their wages, and forcing workers to pay premiums and not keeping accurate wage or time records. In the earlier decision in February, the Employment Relations Authority, the ERA, ordered Rural Practice Limited and Abdul Jabbar to pay workers $52,056 in arrears and holiday pay plus interest. They also voluntarily paid $64,387 to the workers for holiday pay and unlawful deductions during the hearing process. Abdul Jabbar, who is a shareholder in the companies, he's also would be a director, wouldn't you think? He's owning the property in Queenstown and also in Southland. He's imam of the Invercargill Mosque. He's also the religious advisor and mentor of at least one of the workers, Sylvia, that's his wife, Jabbar. She was the co-owner of Rural Practice Limited. She died in September 2022. Oh, what happened to her? I got rid of her. The case was being heard and Labour expectorate withdrew its claims for penalties against her. The three workers came from Indonesia to work in Rural Practice Limited on its Invercargill dairy farm between December 2017 and February 2022. the December 2020, one of the workers contacted the Ministry of Business and Innovation and Employment to complain that he had not been paid a salary recorded in his employment agreement or given the number of days off he was owed each fortnight. He also complained that his employer had taken possession of his passport and ID and kept them even though he asked for them back. The Labour Inspectorate investigation found that each employee had been given two versions of their individual employment agreements, one stating a higher salary, which the employer provided to Immigration New Zealand, INZ, during work visa applications, and the other provided to the Labour Inspector, stating a lower amount. None of the employees were paid the wages due to them. It was also found that the amounts had been deducted from one of the workers' wages, purportedly to pay for their services of a recruitment company in Indonesia. During the Labour Inspector's investigation, it was found that payslips for the workers had been manipulated. In one case, there were two sets of payslips for the same period. One set with the hourly rate of pay inflated to satisfy the INZ visa requirements, and the other set with a lower rate of pay and correspondingly more hours worked provided to the Labour Inspector. Labour Inspectorate Head of Compliance and Enforcement, Simon Humphreys, said that it was unforgivable that business owners were knowingly and deliberately, well, they're Muslim immigrants, aren't they? That's what they're doing. Muslim people coming here, exploiting people. What is it? The religion of peace. There you go. Here's an example. Deliberate exploitation of vulnerable workers. Of vulnerable workers as they were brought to New Zealand. These workers came to this country in search of a better life, but they were taken advantage of by those they trusted. There we are. Humphrey said the Labour Inspectorate will continue to vigorously monitor potential migrant workers' exploitation and enforce compliance when necessary. Just employ New Zealanders and don't work for these Muslim pricks, because it's just a hopeless case. We've got far too many Muslims coming into the country. Now, yesterday I made a mistake. I said there was 173 new migrants came to New Zealand. It's 173,000. And that's far too many. We need to be giving our own people employment. There was a time when working on a dairy farm would have been a great job for New Zealanders. And now all we're getting is, you know, people from Indonesia. We need our people in work, not foreigners coming here just so that these people can exploit them, because that's what's happening. Just a shocking state of affairs. Okay, now we'll move to the to more news from we're reading these news items from farmersweekly.co.nz. Sector groups applaud new look at methane targets. More nonsense. We'll have a quick look at that one there. And the picture there of a nice Angus cow eating some grass. It looks like it might be an East Frisian. It might be a Frisian, rather. Not an East Frisian. That is a sheep. Farming groups have welcomed news that the coalition government is appointing an independent panel of experts to renew reduction targets for the agricultural biogenetic methane. Beef and Lamb New Zealand, the chair, Kate Ackland, and Federated Farmers President Wayne Langford called the move fair to the sector, saying science supports their view and does not, and current targets go further than is needed to achieve no further warming. Nonsense. The climate change bullshit minister, Simon Watts, and agricultural minister, bullshit minister, Todd McClay, they announced the independent review at the weekend, saying it's important that targets are consistent and at levels that does not avoid warming. Rubbish. Just nonsense. You don't even know what you're talking about. Just absolute rubbish. The targets set by the previous government are to reduce the emissions by between 24 and 47% by 2050. Absolute rubbish. All right, now you've got a warning out there to dog owners with parasites. Parasites appear in New Zealand. Get flea and tick treatment up to date. There we are, urges Biosecurity New Zealand. So this is more fear-mongering. And we just heard from Dr. Sam Bailey that it's all nonsense. The dog owners are being urged to assure their pets are up to date with the flea and tick treatment. So let's see, the pharmaceutical companies, they make money out of us. Parasite Babesia gibsoni. It was detected in a dog in Canterbury region. Biosecurity and they said that Babesia gibsoni was widespread around the rest of the world, including Australia. But this is the first case discovered in New Zealand. And it can be caused by a diseased babesiosis, which is not present in New Zealand most of all. God, help me. Just the rubbish. And look, I don't know, why on earth, why do you people at Farmers Weekly entertain this rubbish? And why don't you at least, you know, get in touch with someone like Dr. Sam Bailey or Mark Bailey and others, Guy Hatcher, although I think he's a bit of a germ theory guy. But why don't you get in touch with them and get another side to the story so that you can actually present the news properly? This is why people aren't listening to mainstream media anymore. You know, they're going down the toilet. And when you look at the Farmers Week, it's filled with ads from the pharmaceutical industry trying to get us to buy them and pour on and jab them and vaccinations and tick and flea nonsense. It's just rubbish. You know, if your animal has got good terrain, if you don't keep it closed up and in the same paddock for too long, they're not going to have problems with parasites. And we know that when you keep giving them the same old stuff, you know, the ivermectin or whatever it is you want to give them, the same old stuff, it ends up, it doesn't work after a while anyway, because like cures like. That's homeopathic science. And it is science as well. A court ruling leaves the Ashburton irrigators in limbo. An advocacy group, Environmental Law Initiative, and they sought a judicial review of the decision of the High Court last year. Rural rate hikes are mooted in the Waikato Plan. Federated farmers, they suggest rural compliance and biodiversity improvement costs will be borne by central government instead. That's what they say. El Nino finally on its way out the door, according to Philip Duncan. He's a good bloke, good meteorologist. It's been keeping things pretty dry, says Phil Duncan. And there's been a limited wet weather on the horizon. There we are. So we don't too much wet weather. We just need enough to get the grass growing. Farmlands, they're cleared to buy the Seals Winslow. The Commerce Commission clears the way for the deal between Farmlands and Balance Agri Nutrients. And now it's farmers on hook for GDEX, or whatever that is, millions. A change of legal advice sends liquidators hearing after individual producers after failed cattle shipment. I don't know what that's about. Time to sell Pāmu, says Agri CA. A chartered accountant says the sale could realise $2 billion in New Zealand. And BLNZ, whatever that is, a flea hive needed to withdraw. I will start again. I'll read that again. MLNZ, fee hike needed to draw board talent. The story by Richard Rennie. The proposal got the thumbs down from 2/3 of the 12% of farmers voted, a result which BLNZ says will negatively impact future recruitment efforts. That's the news from Farmers Weekly. We'll be back with international news in just a moment.
What's real? Matter. It's like, okay, that's one answer. What's real? What matters is real. Because that's how you act. Okay, so that's different than matter. It's like, okay, what's the most real of what matters? How about pain? Why is it the most real? Try arguing it away. Good luck. So pain is the fundamental reality. All right. Well, that's rough. Doesn't that lead to nihilism and hopelessness? Yeah, is there anything more fundamental than pain? Love. Really? If you're in pain, and I wanna kiss you, love and truth, that's what you got. And you know, if they're more powerful than pain, maybe they're the most real things.
Jordan Peterson there getting very emotional. Well, the sun's coming up. It looks like it's going to be a lovely day where I am. Hey, Digger.
Yeah, it's going to be a lovely day.
Yeah, it is. All right, we've got international news coming up, and then we'll have a look at the weather across the country. What we'll do, just the short forecast today, shall we? Yep. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, it's good.
The Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Minister back from his $80,000 vacation, which he got for free. He said, like most Canadians, friends welcomed him for that vacation. He took two, not one, but two private jets paid for by the taxpayer, burning 100 tons of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. He wants to tax the heat and the food of Canadians. Did he pay the full carbon tax on each of the 100 tons of emissions that he put into the atmosphere as part of his $80,000 vacation?
Wow.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker, the Conservative leader has simply no plan to address climate change in this country. No plan to increase the resilience of our communities in the fight against climate change. Warming climate causes droughts. Droughts damage crops. Damaged crops increase the food of growers.
You can see why Justin Trudeau, you can see why he's got to be out, surely. Why would they keep voting for him? Is it electoral fraud? Is that, which is what happened here in New Zealand, electoral fraud in Southland? I think we had 13 or might have been 17 electorates. I think it was 13 electorates in the South Island that always vote for the National Party. They ended up voting for the Labour Party back at the 2020 elections, and they got 50% of the vote, 50.0. Can you believe that? That's what happened. So I'm absolutely sure of it, that we have electoral fraud going on in this country as well. All right, we've got international news coming up in just a moment. And what was it going to... And don't let me forget that report, another doctor, Guy Hatchard. We're going to hear from him. He is a germ theory exponent. However, he says some good stuff, and he's on our side. We just have to forgive him for his germ theory nonsense, but still, most of what he says is good. And my dad used to say, "Eat the meat and spit out the bones." Not everything that people say is nonsense. Some of it's good, you know. Like me, some of the stuff I say, you probably wouldn't agree with. You know, like I believe the Earth is flat. I do. I've had people say, "Oh no, we love listening to you until you went down that flat Earth track. Now we're out. We're out of it. We're not listening to you anymore." Well, why not? Why don't you just keep listening? Why don't you do a proper investigation? I find that people that actually mock the flat earthers, they've never done a thorough investigation. All they do is they go online, they look on YouTube, and they look at all the negative things about the flat earth. They don't actually do a thorough investigation themselves. There's no evidential foundation that the world is spinning. None whatsoever. Absolutely, totally well proven. But you're just too lazy to go and do the work, to put the hard yards in. I spent $1,600 and I imported a camera. I think it was a Nikon P1000. And I could see my boat over 7.5 nautical miles away across the water. Not every day I could see it, because as you get closer to the water, the air particles are sometimes a bit dense. But on a good day, I could see the boot topping, which is the, you know, the waterline. 7.5 nautical miles away. Now, a 6-foot human being, an 1800 millimeters high, can only see 6 miles, 6 nautical miles with his naked eye. With the naked eye. Make sure you cover up your eyes. So I bought one of these cameras and I set it all up and I measured, did everything properly. I think it was about a meter off the water at high tide, and I could see the boat 7.5 nautical miles away. I couldn't see it with the naked eye, and it should have been over the horizon, about 28 feet or something, but I could see the boat. Now, how come that? Well, it's because the earth is flat. Water finds its own level. Everything has to be contained. You can't contain an atmosphere unless you have a container. It's just common sense. And, you know, we've just been brainwashed since little children with the globe theory, which is a way of hiding God. They don't want you to know that the Bible actually tells you, and even Christians, they just look at the words on the page and they don't want to believe it. They think, oh, the earth is turned as a seal to the clay. They think, oh, that must be it's turning. No, it's like a wood turner. That's how God made the earth. It's like a seal. Well, a seal has got a lip around the outside like a pizza. You know, you go down to the pizza place and buy a pizza, it's got a lip around the outside. Well, that's what seals are like. When you push it into some clay, or you push it in, now we use wax. Oh, not now, we don't, but we did, you know, 100 years ago, to seal the letters. That's what God sees from above. He looks, he's in the farthest parts of the north, the Bible tells us, Polaris, up further past there probably, outside of our terrarium that we live in. That's all we live in. When they go out into space, they're not going into space, they're going into high-altitude terrarium. And John McLean, who was a former, I think he was a Navy navigator for the U.S. Navy, for 22 years, He believes the Earth is flat. He's calculated that he thinks that the top of the terrarium could be as high as 10,800 miles, nautical miles. That's what he thinks. So he's no fool. And people say to me, oh, I've sailed around the Earth. You know, I've been sailing. I've sailed around the world. Well, you can ride your bike around the town, but it doesn't mean to say the town's round, a sphere, does it? A globe. You can get on a merry-go-round. That's flat. It's not a globe. You can go round and round. So that's what, when you're sailing around the Earth, you're sailing around on water that's flat and level, sea level, and you're sailing around a flat Earth. That's what's happening, but you don't realise it, do you? Because you've been brainwashed, like we all had been brainwashed. When I was really little, I asked my father, "How far does the Earth go?" And he said, well, it's actually a globe. And I didn't believe him. And, you know, I was right not to believe him. Because he'd been brainwashed as well. The Earth is flat. And if you do the research, if you actually go and do some investigation, you won't be able to prove that it's a spinning ball. And God knows the difference between a circle and a ball. In Isaiah, he tells us that the Earth is a circle. He could have said ball because just a few chapters earlier he used that word, ball. But it's not a ball, and it's not spinning. You've just got to use your common sense and your own senses that we are on a stationary earth. The Bible says that stationary earth doesn't move, has foundations. Balls spinning don't have foundations. So you just got to read all those verses. The Bible is a flat earth book. Now, if you're a Christian, you've got no excuse for believing the nonsense, which is designed to hide God, that we live on a spinning ball or a planet, millions of light years away. There's all these other planets. Those stars are in the terrarium. They're closer than you think. The sun is a lot closer. Some people believe it's around about 3,200 miles away. And the moon is the same size. And they're all in. If you read the Bible in Genesis, it says that they're in the firmament. They're not outside the firmament. They're in the firmament. They're in our system, in our terrarium. And if you know anything about terrariums, look it up. You know that they are self-existing, and that's what we've got here. God has us in a terrarium. He created this earth for us to live in. But unfortunately, at the moment, the devil runs the show, and he's trying to tell us, teach us, that we don't live in a terrarium, but that we actually live on a planet that's spinning. And that is completely contrary to what the Bible says. The words on the page of your Bible, it's completely different to what the so-called scientists are telling us. All right, we're going over to international news in just now, right now.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, international news.
Right, let's look at that international news. And we're over at apnews.com. And first up, Kevin Costner's epic new Western Horizon, an American saga, will premiere at Cannes. Kevin Costner's multi-episode epic Horizon, the American saga, will premiere at the Cannes Film Festival next month. And the festival organisers announced that yesterday. And a police officer killed and six others wounded in a grenade attack at a mosque in southwestern Pakistan. A police officer died and six officers were wounded in the grenade attack at a mosque in the western... Oh, just repeat the same headline. Russians, they've staged a rare protest after a dam burst and homes flooded near Kazakh border. Russians in the city of Orsk, they gathered in a rare protest on Monday, calling for compensation following the collapse of the dam and subsequent flooding of the Ornberg region near the border with Kyrgyzstan. Italy's police, they arrest Tayyip Man, suspected of Islamic State membership at Rome Airport. Police have arrested the Tayyip national, accused of being an active member of the Islamic State group. The man, identified only as SI, Sierra Indigo, he was nabbed after the plane landed at Rome's international airport on a flight from the Netherlands. And Spain will scrap golden visas that allow wealthy non-European Union residents to stay if they buy real estate. The Spanish government says it will scrap the so-called golden visas that allow the wealthy people from outside of Europe to obtain residency permits on investing more than €500,000 in real estate. And Georgia's governing parties, they tried again to pass the widely criticised foreign agent law. The government party in the K country of Georgia has submitted to Parliament a draft calling for media and non-commercial organisations to register as being under foreign influence if they receive more than 20% of their budget from abroad. Extreme winds and rainfall wreak havoc across South Africa's coastal province, killing at least one person. One person died with the heavy winds and storm. Heavy rainfall has battered the South Africa's coast and the province of Western Cape, which includes Cape Town. German troops, they've arrived in Lithuania, their first long-term foreign deployment since World War II. Lithuanian leaders have hailed an historic event. Germany began deploying troops in the Baltic country, a NATO member, the first time since the World War II. A NATO member. Oh, okay. And the German forces will be based outside of the country on a long-term basis. Ethnic guerrillas in Myanmar, formerly Burma, look set to seize an important town in the Thai border from the military. The guerrilla fighters from the Myanmar Karen ethnic minority. Oh, I've met them. I've met those blokes. Oh, they're cutthroats. I've met them. I felt really unsafe, actually. I was there in 1995, and they had these. We stayed with the Karens. Now, the Karens, you know, are named after that Bible. There's a Bible region called Karen, and these people, they're Christians, and they name themselves the Karens. But I don't know why they're saying that, because they're really peace-loving. But these other people that we met, these other men with machetes and stuff, they were pretty scary. The guy that we were with seemed to know them. And they just seemed to be trading in, what's that stuff now? Opium. That's what they were having. British and French troops, they march in historic joint parade in London and Paris in a show of solidarity. French troops, they've joined the British counterparts in the famous changing of the guard ceremony outside Buckingham Palace for the first time, marching together in a display of solidarity between Britain and France. Greece will set up a national shelter network in response to the woman's slaying outside the police station. Greece's minister in charge of police announced plans to set up a nationwide network of domestic violence shelters days after the fatal stabbing of a woman outside the station. And Spanish court Spanish court calls on the fugitive Catalan cessationist Charles, Puigdemont, to testify in the terrorism probe. There we are. Spanish court, the Supreme Court has called on the fugitive, former Catalonian president and separatist chief. Looks like Carles Puigdemont, I think. I don't know. It sounds French, doesn't it, the way I say it? To testify as a defendant in a terrorism investigation over protests linked to the region's failed 2017 independence referendum. Sorry about that. And the European Union Red Sea Navy mission commander hopes for more ships to repel the Houthi attacks. The commander of the European Union Navy. That's a mission in the Red Sea. They want a significant increase in this to better defend these attacks against these Houthi rebels, which are Muslims. The US Army will hold combat training in the Philippines to hone skills as maritime tensions rise. Well, you know, it's all happening, isn't it? They all just put everyone's heading towards the Middle East, just like the Bible says. It's going to be a big war just north of Jerusalem, north of Tel Aviv. Called Armageddon. It's in the valley of Megiddo. Napoleon looked over it and he thought, this is a good place for a war, for a battle. The US Army is introducing a joint battlefield training in the Philippines to improve combat readiness, including to ensure adequate supply of ammunition and other needs in difficult conditions in tropical jungles and on scattered islands. UK Foreign Secretary to urge US Speaker to back help for Ukraine. Well, Ukraine, they're still going. It's funny, we're going to lose this war against the Russians. You've lost the war. There's been over 550, probably 600,000 Ukrainian troops slaughtered, which are just cannon fodder for NATO. Russia won that war ages ago, and they could have actually just really done a thorough job. But they don't want to kill people. The Russians don't want to kill the Ukrainian soldiers because they know they're just being used as pawns for NATO. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron is expected to urge US lawmakers to approve a new package of aid for Ukraine when he visits Washington this week, warning Congress that it's putting the security of the West at risk by continuing to hold up the funding. And Sweden. Sweden expels a Chinese journalist, calling her a threat to national security. She's probably just reporting the truth. Sweden has expelled the Chinese nationalist, saying that the reporter was a threat to national security. Swedish broadcaster SVT, that's Sierra Victor Tango, reported Monday that the 57-year-old woman was arrested by the Swedish Security Service in October and expelled by the government in Stockholm last week. And South Korean, they're concerned about, as they vote for parliament this week, the South Koreans head to the polls to elect a new 300-member parliament, and many choosing their livelihoods and other domestic concerns as the most important election issues. Russia Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, he visits Beijing to highlight ties with key diplomatic partners, a key diplomatic partner, the Russian Foreign Minister. He's going to be visiting Beijing and to display the strength of ties with close diplomatic partner China amid Moscow's grinding war against Ukraine. It's not against Ukraine, it's against NATO. Toyota will oversee a model verification at subsidiary Daihatsu after safety testing scandal. The new president of Toyota, the subsidiary Daihatsu, says that its parent company will oversee model certification to regain trust after a safety testing scandal. Mozambique, fiery accident leaves more than 90 people dead, including children, local media say. The local media say the makeshift ferry sank off Mozambique's northern coast, killing 94 people, including children. Anger in Malaysia over shoes bearing the logo resembling Arabic word of God. Company head apologises. Don't back down. The Malaysian shoe company has apologised for and stopped selling the footwear. They've got some funny thing on the bottom of the sole. It's some logo, and the Muslims are up in arms about that. US, they tread carefully in responding to Hong Kong's new national security law. The US has denounced Hong Kong's new national security law, because China run that now, not the British anymore, as a tool of potentially silence dissidents both at home and abroad. But so far, the action from Washington has been notably muted. A stock market today, Wall Street holds the steadier, sort of a bit steadier today after last week's sharp swerves. Stocks are drifting in a quiet trading after last week's roller coaster had left them shy of their records. The S&P 500 was down 0.1% on Monday. Turkish Super Cup chaos in Fenerbahçe. Oh, I think it is. U19, whatever that is, team walks off after the one-minute goal for Galatasaray. Oh, I can't really say these words, these Turkish words. And a motorcycle bomb kills two people and wounds five in Pakistan. And what else have we got? Blinken there. In a call with Blinken, the father of the killed aid worker urges tougher US stance on Israel-Gaza war. There we are. So that is the international news. And we want to hear from that fellow now. Who have I got there? What is it? It's on the, what report is it now? Not the Seymour Rocks. It's not Steve Kirsch. Where is it? Is it here? The Royal Commission of Inquiry linked itself to the COVID vaccine promotion. Yeah, this is what I wanted to bring you to your attention. Digital advocacy or information control, navigating the nuances the realm of pro-vaccine campaign, a 30-second YouTube video with 331,000 views entitled Look Back to Move Forward, a Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned, is paired with New Zealand government material promoting COVID vaccination. Unbelievable. Here it is now.
Hello, I'm Dr. Guy Hatchard of the HatchardReport.com. Today we have a really quite an important topic. The Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19, which is just going through a process of resetting its terms of reference, has linked itself to COVID vaccine promotion in an extraordinary move. The team currently organising the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 have linked their publicity to a wholehearted endorsement of COVID vaccines. A 30-second YouTube video that has had 331,000 views, which is entitled "Look Back to Move Forward, Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19 Lessons Learned," is paired with New Zealand government material promoting COVID vaccination. Well, you may think that the issue is being prejudged. Is it? The video is set to music. It depicts joyous family scenes of people working from home and celebrating in their gardens and living rooms. It encourages people to share their stories as a means of moving forward and bonding. If you click the link directly below the video, which is offering you more information, you are taken to a Health New Zealand website. Now, all of these links are in the actual written version of this release. So you can, if you want to go to the links, go there. And this website encourages COVID vaccination from 6 months old and up. It promotes new Pfizer booster shots, masking and antiviral medication. It describes the side effects from the COVID vaccines as rare, despite the fact that reports of adverse effects subsequent to COVID vaccination dwarf any previously reported vaccination side effects by a huge factor, by many times, and a very large factor. The comment section below this YouTube video is turned off. Clearly, the Royal Commission organisers don't want us to be able to make public comments accessible to others or hold online conversations around the topic. They want to control the flow of information. Well, the video turns up frequently as an advertisement on YouTube, which sort of interrupts your viewing. And in essence, it manipulates the viewer towards a feel-good framework. The whole video has a really sort of exciting and jolly feel and creates a bland narrative simultaneously that simply obfuscates the issues. Crucially, it doesn't initiate a public discussion of key concerns. For example, the New Zealand Bill of Rights guarantees the right to refuse medical treatment and experimentation. It also guarantees freedom of thought, conscience, religion, and particularly expression. All of these rights were curtailed during the pandemic as the government set them aside and instead instituted vaccine mandates and lockdowns, which were enforced by, you know, police action, threats of criminal prosecution, and actual loss of employment. Moreover, the government censored discussion on social media platforms. It colluded with people like YouTube and Facebook to ensure that certain kinds of discussions simply couldn't take place. None of these crucial issues, which require widespread social discussion and consideration, this was huge, are being directly raised by the inquiry publicity. Instead, we get this sort of jolly scene and yes, let's all bond together. There is no suggestion in the video that the Royal Commission is intended to respond to concerns or that its terms of reference need revising. Rather, it leaves you with the impression that the inquiry process is all about picking the approach that the government will adopt during the next pandemic, which is referred to in the video as whatever comes next. The implication of the Health New Zealand link is that this will be a simple process of choosing from among the past and current official COVID policies. That's the kind of impression that it gives you. Clearly, there is a suspicion that those organising the inquiry have already made up their minds what comes next and are just going through the motions without offering a clear idea of the huge issues at stake affecting not just health and the right to life, but also social cohesion, employment rights, freedom of expression, our economy, and full disclosure of vital information by the government. Well, the bias evident in this video, the biased tone, underlies the need to completely revise the scope and personnel of the current inquiry, which was set up with very limited terms of reference by the previous government. Well, the web address which leads to the actual process of making a submission about the terms of reference of the inquiry, and that's at covid19inquiry.nz, occupies a corner of the screen for just 5 seconds at the end of the video and is not actually directly linked. In other words, you would have to copy it down in that 5 seconds and then afterwards enter it into your device as a separate process. Whereas a direct link to the Health New Zealand pro-COVID vaccine information is available throughout the 30 seconds of the video as a website link and as a QR code. Well, the Royal Commission of Inquiry should be a process of restoring public trust and confidence, but this cannot happen until a public dialogue is instituted. As we have repeatedly reported, the COVID years have been marked by a health crisis involving record rates of hospitalization and death, which are still continuing, whose causes are little understood and hardly investigated, in fact, even hidden from the public. If the public are not trusted, but rather manipulated, we're in for more of the same, perhaps even worse. Thank you very much.
There we are. That is Dr. Guy Hatchard. You can find him at thehatchardreport.com. Let's move across to some other news that's just come through. Elon Musk is all that stands in the way of totalitarianism. Brazil takes another step towards totalitarianism. I actually struggled with that one. I did. Last night, around 8 p.m. local time, the São Paulo, Brazil Federal Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes he announced the criminal investigation into Elon Musk, the owner of X, formerly Twitter, for allegedly spreading disinformation, obstructing justice and allowing people who de Moraes has banned from social media to freely express their views. De Moraes said that he will fine Twitter, or X, $20,000 per day for every banned person Musk allows to speak. As such, de Moraes has taken Brazil one step closer to being a dictatorship. What's more, the events of the last few weeks make it clear that Elon Musk is not the only thing standing in the way of global totalitarianism. Without free speech, there can be no democracy. Let's have a listen to that video now. It's published on Public. We can't see that one. Oh gosh, they've had it removed. Anyway, I've given you, it's Michael Schellenberger, and so that is well worth having a look at. Publicsubstack.com, go and subscribe to that, and you can hear all sorts of interesting things, but it looks as though that one's been removed, so I wonder why. Okay, let's have a look at the weather now, the national weather. We'll do that coming up very shortly. Yep, in just a moment.
This one profound study done by my friend David Ludwig at Harvard, where he took a group of overweight young guys, teenagers, and he gave them three different breakfasts, exactly the same calories, oatmeal, steel-cut oats, omelet. And then he locked them in a room, they measured their blood every hour, and they tracked everything, and they said, when you guys are hungry, push this button, we'll bring you more food. The oatmeal group not only had higher levels of insulin, cortisol, adrenaline, which is the stress hormone, so eating oatmeal literally was like being chased by a tiger in your body didn't know the difference. It actually made these kids hungrier, and they ate 81% more food than the omelet group. Remember, they ate the same calories of omelet, oatmeal, or steel-cut oats. The steel-cut oats was better, they still ate 50% more food than the omelet group. When you have starch or sugar in the morning, whether it's a muffin, a bagel, oatmeal, French toast, pancakes, whatever people are eating, it's the worst thing you could do.
That's
you
right.
Want to start your day with protein and fat.
That's right. 10 minutes away from 7. And that's why you get fatter and fatter, because you just keep eating more and more of the stuff. That's the problem there, isn't it? Yes, that's the problem.
If you don't exercise, you're going to die sooner.
Mm-hmm.
For every hour you exercise, you will live 3 hours longer.
For every hour you exercise, you'll live 3 hours longer.
Yes, that's the Harvard alumni study.
I want to get up right now.
88.1 FM, the wireless weather.
Right, let's look at national weather right across the country. The short forecast for all New Zealand, valid until midnight tonight. But before we do, we will have a look at the extremes. And Alexandra has the highest temperature at the moment in the South Island, 18.6 degrees. Christchurch Central, the lowest, 5.7. Castle Point's the windiest with 37 kilometres of wind. And Milford Sound has 1.1 millimetre of rain. Temperatures across the city, I can't believe these temperatures are so high. Surely not, but they are. Look, 17 degrees in Stewart Island. Invercargill is 15. Is this have we gone back in time? Has someone put me in a time machine back to summer? Invercargill 15, Dunedin 13 degrees. Timaru's a wee bit chilly there with 6 degrees. Chatham Island's on 10 degrees. Queenstown's even 14 degrees this morning. Up the west coast of the South Island, Franz Josef 13, Westport 15, Nelson 14. Blenheim's on 16 degrees, and Christchurch and Timaru, the coldest places on the east coast of the South Island, with 5 and 6 degrees. Moving up to Wellington, and you've got 15 degrees there. Masterton is cold as a barmaid's kiss, 6 degrees. Palmerston North, 13. New Plymouth, 14. Napier and Taupo, they're both on 8. 8 for Napier. Taupo's on 12. Rotorua, 13. Gisborne, 7 degrees, but colder there. Tauranga 15, interesting temperatures. Hamilton 12 degrees, Auckland 13, Whangarei 14 degrees, and Kaitaia 15. So the warmest place to be is Alexandra in the South Island with 18.8 degrees. The short forecast for Northland, Auckland, Coromandel, Bay of Plenty, and Taupo: partly cloudy with a few showers. Cloud and showers going to be clearing this evening. Waikato to Taranaki, fine spells and the odd shower. Whanganui to Taihape, and also Wellington and Gisborne and Wairarapa. Generally fine weather. You've got some cloudy periods about Kapiti and Wellington, and the odd shower about northern Gisborne as well. For Nelson, Buller and Westland, mostly cloudy with a few showers today. Rain developing about the Westland area this morning with some heavy falls. Marlborough, Canterbury, Otago, except for Clutha, mainly fine weather, but you've got some high cloud increasing. You've got a few spots of rain developing in the morning and in the afternoon, with rain and heavy falls about Canterbury and Otago headwaters. For Southland and Clutha, mostly cloudy, scattered light rain becoming widespread and heavier this evening. Fiordland, periods of rain with heavy falls, and the Chatham Islands, you've got cloudy periods. Well, that's our lot. We've done and dusted, I think, Digger.
Are we? It's not near 7 o'clock yet.
Yeah, but we've got more work to do. We got that roof on yesterday, but what we've got to do, we've got more framing to do today. This thing, I can't believe the amount of timber that's going to this little building. Tiny wee thing, but we've got all this work to do, so we better get out there. And those cows need moving again. We've got to keep them moving, otherwise they start eating poos and things, and you don't want that. You want them eating fresh grass every day, keep them nice and healthy, then you don't need to do anything with them. Don't need to give them any pharmaceutical drugs. You just keep your stock moving. That's the secret. That's why keeping animals in contained areas, tight areas, is bad news. Bad news. They need to keep moving. Just like the wild animals just move across the prairie, and they just keep moving. And that's the way in Africa. They just keep on going. And that's what we try to replicate here at the farm. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining. We'll see you tomorrow morning. It is coming up to 7:05. We'll hopefully see you tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock with The World Gone Mad with Grant Edwards and Digger Davidson. David, the son of David.
A psychologist in one session said that, well, I know two children that came from the same environment, and if environment is everything, one turned out to be a gangster, the other a minister. If environment is everything, how do you get those differences? The minute you pick up one child and start playing with it, and the other stands there with that lip out, you're making jealousy and envy. There's no such thing as the same environment. So when I pick up my little girl, I pick up my older little boy. You never work with one child. Why can't you keep your area clean? Your brother does all the time. You leave all your things around. Well, when he trips and falls down the stairs, his brother smiles. An inhibited smile, of course. But he does smile. So we build these artificialities in the world we live in today.
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless.